ladies, welcome back to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the podcast that helps you love your actual life so that you do not need to run away from home. Studies have shown that listeners of this podcast run away from home 93% less. So we don't need to be perfect. We just need to have some perspective changes. Couple of announcements. Some of you saw on Instagram that I was asking you what color baseball tees would you like if you were to get a Mom Struggling Well t-shirt. The 200th episode of the show is coming up in 3 more weeks. I can't even believe that, to be very honest, but it's true. And I want to celebrate. So we're going to make shirts. My friend Amber is going to make shirts. And so baseball tees, if you don't know what they are, they're the ones that have the sleeves are a different color than the main body of the shirt. And so what y'all voted on was that you liked the navy sleeves with the gray shirt or the kind of dark maroon sleeves with the gray shirt in the middle. So anyway, those are coming soon. And I've decided that any money that's made off of these shirts, I want to give to my friend Anjali. She's been on the show before, but she started something called the Moms We Love Club. And it's a nonprofit through Instagram that prays and raises funds for moms who are enduring long-term hardship. So in other words, moms who are struggling well. Yes? So anyway, anything that comes from the sale of these shirts is going to go right to help these moms. And I'm pumped about it. So buy all the shirts, okay? Stay tuned and then buy all the shirts. Also, marketing department, if you have been kind of lazy about getting MSW tattoos, it's time to kick it into high gear because I am giving away 2 mugs. They're also Mom Struggling Well mugs that my friend Natalie from NS Pottery made on an actual potter's wheel. They're beautiful. I almost don't want to give 2 of them away in case something happens to the one that I have. Like, what if it breaks? But I don't really think I need 3 Mom Struggling Well mugs. So I'm giving 2 of them away and just trusting that I can guilt Natalie into making me a new one if it breaks. But I'm going to be giving 2 mugs away this month. I would love to give away 200 mugs. I'm not Oprah, so I'm giving away 2. I'll have my sister give 1 away during Struggling Sisters next week. And then I'll have Rebecca give 1 away during Problem Solved in 3 weeks. So the way you can enter marketing department is just by sharing the show. What do you love about it? What do you think your people would love about it? Maybe share your favorite episode or share something that you've learned. Tag Mom Struggling Well on Instagram or on Facebook. We will see that. Do it as many times as you want. Get real obnoxious about it. You have my permission. Permission to be really obnoxious when it comes to marketing this podcast. And anyway, we will give away some mugs. So stay tuned for mugs. Stay tuned for baseball tees. And now on to the show. That's the end of my announcements. I'm sharing with you today my friend Kate Battistelli. I can't even not smile when I say that name. You may know her daughter, Francesca Battistelli. Also, one of the most amazing names around. So Kate has a new book called The God Dare. It's really good. We're going to talk more about it. But think of that. Have you ever thought of the concept that God might be daring you to do something? Is that not exactly what he did throughout the whole Bible? And it's scary because we believe that he's trying to rip us off or that he's not really somebody who can be trusted. But none of that stuff's true. If God asks us to step out in faith and do something, it is going to be good. So as you listen, I would love for you to think, what is that thing that God's asking me to do? All right, let's go ahead and get started. Good morning, Kate. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Emily?
Good. You're in beautiful Franklin, Tennessee, and I'm jealous about it.
Well, it is pretty beautiful until the thunderstorms hit. And we live, our house is on a corner and it's like a wind tunnel. So as soon as those thunderstorms come up, like our lamp falls, everything, glass crashing everywhere.
You're kidding me.
No, it's just where we are, just our street, the way we're situated, like the way the wind comes. It's just all the pillows blow over to the neighbor's yard. It's really fun.
Oh, like lamps but, you know, inside? No.
No, it's a lamp outside. It's kind of a front porch community. So people set up their front porch and it's really, they're cute. You know, it's fun until the lamps fall and the bulbs smash and you're cleaning up glass the next day.
That's cute. Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Okay. That's fine.
First world problems.
Right. That sounds gorgeous though.
It is. It's pretty. It is a very pretty, friendly community. So we're blessed to be here.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Okay, so I know you a little bit, but will you please introduce yourself to my listeners?
Sure, I'm Kate Battistelli. I'm a writer, author, blogger, you know, crazy person. Been married to my husband, Mike. Next, in a couple weeks, it'll be 36 years.
Oh, wow.
So it's been the long haul, but wonderful. And then we have one daughter, Francesca Battistelli. If you listen to Christian music, you've probably heard her music. And now she's given us four grandkids with one more on the way. So,
I heard.
Oh my goodness, crazy town.
What is that like having had one kid and then five little kids come over at once?
It's wild. It's so much fun. And that's what I wanted. I was the crazy woman who wanted five kids, but okay. You know, God's sense of humor. He said, no, you're getting one, but just wait, you know, in the generation to come, that's where you'll get them. So
you really wanted five kids.
I did. I don't know. I just thought that's just what I wanted. That was in my heart. And God just kept telling me over and over, nope, that's not my plan, you know, okay. And which I rebelled against for quite a while.
100%.
Because I really, you know, just infertility and miscarriage and dealing with all that mess. And
yes,
it just wasn't happening for me the way I wanted it. I had my life all set out. Here's how it's supposed to be, Jesus. And then Jesus says, no, I actually get to pick your life and what it's going to look like. And we forget that sometimes, you know, we get this vision in our head about how it should be. And God says, yeah, that's fine, but that's not how it's going to be. You know what I mean? And it's learning that was a big maturing time for me, because just going through infertility month after month, you know, when you're young, you're in your 30s and 40s, even into my 40s, I still was believing I was going to have another child. And then failed adoptions, all that stuff. But
yeah.
I finally just got to the point. I had to learn really to love the Lord for who he is, not for what he gives. You know, we see him as this big blessing machine in the sky, and that's just not who he is. That's not him. And I had to learn that. And it took me a long time. I mean, several years.
It's a very uncomfortable dying process to do that. We dealt with infertility as well. And so I was going to ask you, I know this has nothing to do with your book, but for the person who has one child, we don't ever talk about having kid. We talk about having kids.
Right.
So it's almost like a unfinished, I didn't do it quite right when there's just the one kid. So I want to ask you about that and how you reconcile that. What would you encourage a mom with one kid? Because I have several friends who have one child, and they do. It's a thing sometimes.
Yeah. I think for me, what I had to learn was, if God just gives you one, if that's his plan, then there's a reason for it. And I know with our daughter, once we started realizing, okay, there's something here in the performing arts, I wasn't sure what it was. For 12 years, she danced, did ballet. We thought that was going to be it, but she's got some issues with her back that kind of precluded that becoming a career for her. And she did a lot of theater. We actually did a lot together when we lived in Florida, and I knew, okay, there's something going on here with the arts. And once the whole music thing started, she needed our full attention. And I think years will give perspective. That's the best advice I can give. If you have one, there's a reason you only have one. I know with us, had we had five kids, we wouldn't have had the resources to pour into Franny to help her navigate the whole music world and kind of make that happen and take her to conferences and do all the things that we were able to do because we only had the one. We didn't have to split up our time and our resources. Yeah. Not that those things can't still happen if you've got five kids. I mean, you know, I look at friends like September McCarthy. I'm sure you know September. She's got 10.
Yes.
And my friend Jamie, who has five. I mean, so many families have multiple children that do wonderful things. But I just think that if it's just one, there is a specific purpose for that child. And I see that very clearly now with our daughter's life, where God was taking her. She needed our full attention. You know what I mean? So, but the years have given that perspective. I didn't realize that at the time. I was still fighting with the Lord, you know, for many years until I got to the point where clearly physically I wasn't going to have any more children, but it takes time, but there's a reason for it. So don't, you know, if that's what God's saying, if that's what Jesus is picking for you, just rejoice in that. And I had to get to that point too, of just being thankful for what I did have, not always looking at what I didn't have. You know, just thank God for what he's given you. If he's just given you one, hey, you got one child. There are a lot of women out there that want children that can't have any, or that want to be married. And, you know, that just hasn't happened for them. So
we all have that thing that we want. Yeah,
we all do.
It's funny because I have two. They're both adopted. I made peace with the fact that I'm not going to have biological children. But sometimes I think, oh, gosh, I only have two. You know, and I think, I don't know. It doesn't even matter what we have. We want some more.
Yeah.
Or different.
Well, yeah. That's We're neat. Never fully satisfied with what God gives us. They're like, oh, all right, God, which is really just not the right attitude. And I did ridiculous. Have to learn that, to be thankful.
Yeah.
You know, that just changes everything when you can have gratitude no matter what you're going through. And I mean, and I deal with stuff still with anxiety and with stupid things that just afflict you and come against you. And it's just like, I can live there and fall deep into that, or I can just thank God for, look at everything he has given me, you know, just look at the good things, just try to get that in my brain. And it's hard. I mean, it's so easy to get overwhelmed with the hard thing or whatever it is you're dealing with, but man, just get that gratitude in your heart and start thanking God and things will change. I mean, I've seen that in my own life.
I want to take a moment and thank Allison and PrepDish for their support of this show. You know, I love PrepDish, but if you haven't heard about it before, let me give you the details. So how PrepDish works is you get a weekly email with a menu. It has a grocery list. It has step-by-step instructions on how to prep ahead. And once you spend 2 to 3 hours in the kitchen prepping a week's worth of meals, you're done for the week. You just take it out of the fridge, heat it up, and it seems like you've been slaving away all day, but you haven't. You just did it a couple days ago for a couple hours. Another thing I love is that you end up with all these healthy, gluten-free or paleo recipes at your fingertips. You learn how to cook with some whole foods. You can add bread. We're not anti-bread. Have a glass of milk. Put some whipped cream on something if you feel like it. But what you've started off with is whole foods, good, nourishing food for your family. They also have quicker ones that don't take quite as long to prepare, which are the ones I've been leaning heavy on lately. As I've been using PrepDish, I've gotten better at cooking with healthier ingredients. And so, like just today, there is a girl at my house, my daughter's friend, having a play date. She's gluten-free and she's dairy-free. And you know what I had on the menu? I'm not even kidding, to make for this afternoon? Cookies and cream ice cream. That won't work, but it's okay. Don't anybody panic. I know how to make a bunch of gluten and dairy-free energy bites because of PrepDish. So I just pulled up one of those recipes and nobody got sick. So if you would like to try PrepDish for 2 weeks for free, you really have nothing to lose. Go to PrepDish.com/MSW and start your 2 week free trial today. That's PrepDish.com/MSW. So let's talk about anxiety.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's not fun. It feels for people who are, you know, walking with Christ, like I must be, I mean, he says not to have anxiety, you know, be
right.
worried about
be anxious
anything.
For nothing. It's like, okay, all right, how do I do that exactly?
So what's working for you?
I think for me, like I said, being thankful, really praying, really, really trying to make the scriptures come alive, like keeping that in your heart. It really does make a difference to speak out what's true. Mm-hmm. What you know about what the Lord says about you, you know, what he says about your life, just reminding yourself constantly. And I mean, it's a daily battle for me. I'm doing much better than when it descended on me about 3.5 years ago out of nowhere. And I'm not that person. I've always been the, just get over yourself, Emily, snap out of it. You know, you can figure this out, pull yourself up and deal with it. That was always me until I couldn't do that anymore, until it was so crippling. I would just sit in my husband's office so I could be near him because I didn't know what to do. Couldn't write, couldn't cook, couldn't eat. I couldn't do anything.
Was there an event or what started it?
At the time, it didn't seem like it. I was like, where is this coming from? Now, when I look back now, I realize, okay, we were trying to sell our house. Our daughter was getting ready to have her third baby. My mom went into hospice care. So there was a lot going on, but I was always the person that just dealt with stuff.
Okay.
You know, nothing would get through and fluster me in that way where it would overwhelm me. It was just, all right, that's life. You deal with it. But all of a sudden I couldn't deal with it. And it really felt like it just fell on me. It wasn't something that bubbled up. It just, I mean, it feels like it was an attack, and I still think it is. I think the enemy didn't want me to finish my book. You know, it's not a message he wants out to the world. I had to fight through that, but it was tough. I got addicted to Xanax for a year because it works really fast. I mean, in 20 minutes, you're not anxious anymore. You feel great. I didn't realize that that's what they give you when you're actually having a panic attack. I know that now. And for me, it just, with my brain, it just did not, it was not a good solution for me. I mean, I, you know, not to say anything against somebody who you take what you got to take to deal with it. Cause unless you've dealt with anxiety, I mean, I've tried to explain it to my husband. He doesn't deal with it. He doesn't get it. And I said, unless you've dealt with it, there's no way you can understand. Yes. But if you have, you totally get what I'm talking about. It's just, it's that dump of cortisol in your stomach constantly. It just doesn't go away. And I'm doing a lot better with it now. I have a lot of days where I'm not feeling it terribly. It's always kind of an undercurrent there, but I try to eat really clean, avoid toxins, you know, take a lot of nutrition. CBD oil helps. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that.
Oh yeah. I've heard, I mean, I know people are talking about it, but I've not personally had it,
you know, and it doesn't have any THC or anything in it, so you don't get high from it, but it really can make a difference, at least for me. So yeah. Things like that, I've just learned lifestyle changes that have made a big difference. And then staying busy, staying active, doing stuff, not getting stuck where you're just sitting alone by yourself, unless you're a time of prayer or a time of reading the word or reading or something like that. But yeah. Just trying to stay, keep doing stuff. For me, it was like, pick up your pen and just start writing. You know, the Lord was really clear that this book that I started in 2012, thought it was finished, but it wasn't. You know, he was just very clear to get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. So I had to just sort of suck it up and push through. And it wasn't easy, but you know, you just have to do it. But I had no idea how many women particularly deal with anxiety. It's like a huge thing.
And it really is. And there's so much shame and there's so, mental health just has so much stigma around it, especially in the Christian community.
Well, because you think, well, I should be able to deal with this. But you read the Bible, you read through the Psalms, the laments, the crying out, Lord, just take my life. I'm like, well, there was anxiety and depression all through the Bible. And we don't realize that because we want to be anxious for nothing. But you know, it's tough. I mean, it just takes you on a journey. Hopefully it will cause you to press in deeper to the Lord.
Exactly. Instead of just numb out, which we cannot, of course we want to. It is so, feels so good to not be nervous or depressed or, you know, and so I completely understand that. And that concept of like, for me, it's depression. And I feel like even though I don't live with it on a daily basis, it's like in the peripheral, like it's a shadow in my peripheral vision, like it's there, it could overtake me at any moment. And you got to kind of just not focus on that, but be aware of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the book, I remember we were having lunch when I was in Franklin, maybe like a year and a half ago. We were having lunch at one point and you had said that, yeah, you thought the book was done and that it in fact wasn't done. And so I'm sitting here looking at a finished book and I'm so proud of you. It's such a labor of love to do a book, but so talk about the God Dare and when did this seed of an idea begin for you? What was going on?
It actually started out as a little blog post back in 2011, just the God Dare, because I felt like with writing my first book, which is called Growing Great Kids, God was daring me to write a book because I wasn't a writer. I had no platform. I don't have a college degree, though I did make the dean's list in one of the four colleges I went to in 2 years.
There you go.
It made absolutely no sense for me to write a book. I wasn't a trained writer. You know, there was nothing about, I always loved writing, journaled, you know, always did all that, but I never thought to myself, yes, you're supposed to be a writer, until I really felt like God daring me to write that book. And after it was all said and done, I thought, he dared me. Now, wait a minute. Is this in the Bible? Does he do this to other people? And I started seeing it all through scripture, just where he drops this idea, you know, hey, Moses, take a look at this burning bush. You're going to take the entire nation of Israel out of Egypt and lead them into the promised land. Of course, Moses said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not equipped. I can't speak, blah, 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 blah. Gave God every excuse, which typically you do when God dares you to do something.
Totally.
Because when he dares you, it's going to take you way out of your comfort zone. So I started seeing it all through scripture, and I wrote this blog post, and a friend of mine that's a writer said, you need to make this into a book. I think this is a great idea for a book. I thought, okay. So I just started writing, pretty much had it done back in 2012, thinking, well, we'll get this out in 2013. And it was just like, no, it wasn't ready to come out because I wasn't ready to expose the ugly parts of my life. I could tell you all about the fun, good things and, you know, our daughter and my theater background, all the wonderful things, but I wasn't willing to talk about getting pregnant at 18, stuff like that, having an abortion, you know, the infertility, the miscarriage, all the stuff that wasn't pretty in my life until the Lord dared me last summer when I was just finishing the book. He said, you need to put that story in there. You need to put your abortion story in there because one out of three women have dealt with this.
Yes, they do.
And I was terrified. Now, I had not told my daughter. She's 34 years old. I'd never told her. I'd never told anyone. My husband knew and maybe two or three people in the world. I held this secret for 46 years. I was 18. This was 1972 before Roe v. Wade. So, you know, it was just one of those things. You do it and you put it, you put that way, way in the background. We don't talk about it. I don't.
Okay. So I just have to ask some follow up questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number one, for I'm sure that it's definitely something that my listeners can identify with. When you say you put it in the back, it's not really gone or out of your mind, is it?
Oh, it's never gone. No, but it's, but you just don't go there. You know what I mean? You just can't until, and now this is before I knew the Lord. I met the Lord at 29, almost 30. And I knew the moment that I gave my heart to the Lord, I knew he knew, but I knew he loved me anyway. He accepted me. He forgave me. I wish I had just taken that and then been able to talk about it, but I still couldn't. It was all these years. I've been a Christian, gosh, it's 35 years now. So it was not until this year when I finally said, all right, I got to put this in the book. I have to tell my daughter and make sure it's okay with her because she's known, you know, I don't want to embarrass her with something in my life. And she was very gracious. And of course she was fine with it. And it's probably the chapter I get the most messages and things about just because for so many women that, you know, we live with that guilt and shame, but until you're ready to expose those ugly parts of your life, but those redeemed parts, and until you can really know who you are in Christ, you can't talk about it. But I just thought, and I say at the end of the chapter, I said, my cover's blown now. You know, what about you? What is it in your life that you, because once we get, once we can talk about it, the guilt and shame can't hold us anymore. And I think that's the trap the enemy wants us in.
Yeah, the darkness has to flee when you bring the light into it. So how is it different for you now that you've gotten that out? How do you feel different?
Well, I can just talk about it. You know, it doesn't scare me anymore to sit here and talk with you about this. 2 years ago, I'd have been a complete mess. No way I could have talked about this. But now it's like, this is just part of my story, but I know who I am in Christ. And that's the thing we have to know, that we are redeemed. He does forgive sin. I think a lot of us think this is the unforgivable thing.
Exactly.
You can't use me, God, because I did this back when I was 18 or 25 or 14, whatever age.
And we all assign random sins as the unforgivable, like whatever one we did is the one that can't be forgiven.
Right.
I felt that way with getting divorced at 22. And just this is not a thing. An unforgivable sin's not actually a thing.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know. And if we and sometimes we go, okay, well God forgave people like in general. Like the general humankind is forgiven, but me specifically, like we almost feel like it doesn't penetrate quite that deep to forgive the ones we especially feel bad about. But it's not true. It's not true.
No. And I think that's why I connected in the book. I connect a lot of my personal story with biblical stories. So I connect that with the woman caught in adultery. And I didn't commit adultery, but it's sexual sin. And I love that we don't even know her name. But Jesus knows her name. And he said, go and sin no more. I mean, I'm hopeful she just walked away from that life and started to follow him. We don't know. We never hear any follow-up on her. But I'm really hoping I get to meet her in heaven and sit down and talk to her. Because I can't even imagine, you know, just that whole story has always captured my heart. So being able to just kind of relate it to that and to the, listen, we've grown up in the 60s or 70s or 80s. Many of us have committed some kind of sexual sin, but God can forgive anything, you know, and it's never too late. Just ask the thief at the cross, you know, it was near his last breath. And I don't know what he did. Well, we know he was a thief, but Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I'm like, it is never too late. I'm just hoping that that's telling that story helps other women to just find freedom in speaking about what was unspeakable. Because it's not, you know, there's nothing we've done that he can't forgive. If we repent, we have to ask. But if we do that, then it's done.
Yeah, 100% done. Yeah. Special thank you to Homer for supporting this podcast. Homer is a reading app that combines what your child loves and their current reading level to create an experience that's personalized to them to help them like to read. When Homer asked me to try out their product, I could not have been happier because my son, I don't even understand why. He's so smart. He thinks reading is a form of medieval torture. I don't even understand the problem. But he got to take a little quiz in the beginning, not a quiz, but a little thing to select what he's interested in. And then all the stories are about the things he's interested in. And wouldn't you know, he's incredibly interested. And I don't understand this either. This probably is just something that I can't wrap my head around because of my age or something. But the fact that there are levels, the fact that it's like a video game, which I'm a mean mom and I won't let him have, he's pumped. I told him, like, why don't you think of the chapters as levels in a regular book? And he doesn't care about that. So anyway, my son loves the Homer app and it's getting him to read way more than his mother's face asking him to open a book has ever done. He's making a lot of progress. And the cool thing is you can track their progress if you're interested. I mean, I am a little busy, so I haven't done tons of tracking, but I know that his little line is definitely going up. And the good thing is he's not going to go off to college not knowing how to read, which I've been wondering about. The good people at Homer want to give you a chance to start a free 30-day trial. So if you are having problems in your house like I am with reading, visit learnwithhomer.com/MSW to start a free 30-day trial. Again, that's learnwithhomer.com/MSW to start a free 30-day trial. So I love the way that the format of the book, where it does have your stories, Bible stories, but then also in the end, scriptures to think about and discussion questions. I think it's a great resource. This is why I want to bring you on. I get asked to share lots of authors, but I loved this book particularly. It'd be a great resource by yourself or with a small group to just pull out, where's God at work in my life? And because we do think, man, those crazy things that happen in the Bible, like those are Bible stories, those are Bible times. And God is not different. It says that he never changes. And so if he was doing all that stuff then, he's doing all that stuff now. We just need to come awake to it, you know, like open our eyes to it. So I do want to ask though, where would you, of all the God dares in the Bible, which one is the one that's just your absolute favorite?
I think probably Ruth. I just love that story because it wasn't, you know, God didn't appear to her in a dream or send an angel, or he didn't speak to her specifically. It was through Naomi's life. And Naomi, you know, they describe her as sad and bitter. And bitter, she said, yeah, you know, call me Mara. Don't call me Naomi, because Mara means bitter.
She sounds like a lovely woman.
But there was something so real and raw in her devotion, her love of God, that it just grabbed a hold of Ruth, where she couldn't not follow Naomi back to Israel. And here she is, a Moabite, a heathen, an idol worshiper, and ends up in the lineage of Christ. And you're just like, wait, how does that happen? Which just shows me how well God loves women, you know, that there's two women that are not, that both Rahab and Ruth, yes, were not Israelites, were not Hebrews. So, but they're both in the lineage of Christ, which I just love that God, you know, he is no respecter of persons.
Yes.
And that
and
he
it doesn't
can do that.
Compute.
No.
The ways he works. And so when things aren't adding up to our way of thinking, it probably means we're on the right track with God, because it doesn't usually add up.
No. And I think people are the same. They were the same then that they are today. You know, we think, oh, they're biblical, you know, Moses, like we see him, Charlton Heston in the movie. It's like, I really doubt that's what he looked like. First of all, he was 80 years old. Yeah. You know, Jesus didn't have a halo around his head. I mean, just the way we picture them in our minds, because we've seen a movie or something, it's so, I just think it is so not how they were. If we could actually go back there, we go, oh, they were just like us.
They had, you know, bad breath in the morning, and their hair got messed up, and
they were crabby to their husbands. You
body
know.
Odor, probably more than we even have.
Probably. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so I want to ask, I think sometimes in the American church, we're so focused on ourselves that even I find that some worship songs are all about what God does for us, which is true, and it's true. But I think we tend to be so self-focused that sometimes I'm asking just a devil's advocate question, not because I think that this is true, but just the idea that God, we're going to be extraordinary. We're supposed to be so extraordinary. Sometimes it makes us, I feel like it feels self-focused. I don't know. I just feel like the God dare sometimes, not the God dare, but the Christian church, it feels like we're trying to figure out how can we be amazing? How can we make ourselves something big? But it's not about us. And I know you know that. It's just...
Yeah. And I think that whole girl power gospel thing is lying to us, saying you can be whoever you want to be. You can design your future. And I'm just like, well, tell that to John the Baptist. I always have to look at those things, but really through the eyes of biblical characters. Tell that to the Apostle Paul. He couldn't design his future. He followed Christ. He was dead to self.
That's true.
What we're missing. I think that, and when God calls you to do something, if you're just thinking, well, how's this going to affect me? You're not really following the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus, there many are called, but few are chosen. We have to choose to be chosen to do those things that are going to change the world. And it's going to take us out of ourselves, I think.
Yes. When, it's like, know, who, go, whose blueprints are you holding? The ones right. that we decided or the ones that were like, okay, God, like that. Like for you, I'm sure you weren't thinking, I would love to be the one who can talk about abortion and anxiety. You know what I mean? Like none of if we those of us who are walking this out are like, this is not my idea of a good time, but I'm going to do it because God asked me to.
Well, I want you to look at my Instagram profile and think that's the truth of my life when it's clearly not. I mean, just come live with me for a day. You'll be, oh yeah, she really needs to be a little more honest on there. But no, it's just, yeah, I think we just get this idea in our head of how our life's supposed to be until God says, yeah, no, I want you to go do something completely different than what you thought. Or it could be as simple as just talk to your neighbor, you know, just love your neighbor, even not necessarily lead them to the Lord, but just be loving to them, whether they're a Muslim couple or gay or don't go to church. It doesn't matter. It's do that thing that God's calling you to do. Sometimes it's big and it's going to, you know, you're going to get a big platform and all those neat things that we think are so great, but trust me, fame is not all it's cracked up to be. My daughter will tell you that. It's hard.
I'm sure.
And
yes.
We want that. You know, we think we do until there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. And there are a lot of demands that come with that. But just hearing God, listening to whatever he's telling you to do, whether it's huge or whether it's small, because even that small thing that you do, you drop that pebble out in the middle of the ocean. By the time it reaches the shore 1,000 miles away, that can be a tidal wave. So you don't know what that little act of obedience, talking to the lady behind you in the grocery store or whatever it is that God said, you need to pray for that person. You're like, no, God, that they're going to think I'm, you know, crazy or stupid or whatever. But so many times when God does that, you find that that person's like, oh my gosh, I needed that today. Thank you. That made such a difference. You know, when we will step out and do that, and sometimes God will start with a little thing just to push you into obedience. I think, I don't know. I just think we're so in America, particularly in our comfort zone. You know, we have our nice life and don't make me do that, Lord. That's uncomfortable. But a God dare will be uncomfortable. It'll typically be scary. It'll feel like you're bungee jumping, which I would never do in real life. But with God, I know he's always going to catch me. Yes. I don't trust the guy at the zip line. You know, I could fall off that thing and kill myself. But if God asked me to zip line, I'll zip line. You know, it's just doing what he's asking us to do and not being afraid or not letting fear stop us. You will be afraid. I mean, I was afraid to get this book out there. There have been a lot of things I've been afraid to do over the years, but it's just I'm at the point now where it's like, whatever, Lord, I've learned to do it afraid. And you have to learn to do that.
Yes. Have you heard stories of women kind of listening and taking up God on his dares?
I'm starting to, yeah, because the book's not been out that long. So I'm just starting to get, little things from people that, oh, I'm taking my God dare and God dared me to do this or that. And I'm saying yes and seeing it turn out. So that's a neat thing. I mean, you just, the one caveat I would give is you want to make sure it's the Lord that you're hearing. You know, because sometimes it's just our own mind. So you want to get some good counsel. ask for confirmation, get some people to pray for you. If it's especially if you feel like it's a big thing. I mean, if it's talk to the lady behind you in the grocery store, you don't need to go to your pastor for that.
You can probably just do that.
Yeah. But if it's, you know, if it's a big life-changing thing, I feel like God's calling me to the other side of the world to go into this country that's hostile to the gospel. Well, you want to know for sure that that's the Lord that's speaking. So I always tell people just get some counsel, get some confirmation. God will confirm. If you say, Lord, if that's not you, close that door. He will do it for you. So I think that's just using wisdom to make sure it's the Lord you're hearing and not just some crazy idea in your mind.
Yes. So actually just this week, part of what I would consider a God dare from him to me is just to continue to labor in prayer over my daughter. Cause we, you know, we struggle with each other. It's not just one way. We both struggle with each other. But I've just been continuing to pray for her. And then all of a sudden you just kind of get tired and think, oh, well, this is where we're at. But I started praying for her again. And then, just that her heart would be softened towards the gospel. And then just like 2 days ago, we were having the best spiritual conversation on the floor of the laundry room. And I'm just like, okay. So I don't know. I just, some of the God dare is just to continue laboring in the things that we want to give up on too.
Yeah. Yeah. How old is your daughter?
She is 11 now.
Oh, wow. So she's just getting to that age of questioning and thinking and things are like coming alive, probably.
She's having some really great conversations. Yeah. That's awesome. Some really great thoughts. So anyhow.
No, that's awesome. No, I think you're right. Sometimes it's a long haul. Some God dares are quick. Look at Moses. He was on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Abraham took 25 years before what God first said, believe for this, for more descendants than the stars in the sky. That's a crazy thing to tell a 75-year-old guy with a 65-year-old wife. Like, where are these descendants going to come from? You know, but he held on to that and he believed. He believed God and God counted it, credited it to him as righteousness. You're just like, I think that's one of the biggest scriptures in the Bible that Abraham believed God. He just believed. He said, okay, all right. I guess if you say to believe this, you'll do it.
Yes.
You know, you'll do the impossible. But like I say in the book, the impossible is God's comfort zone. It's not our comfort zone.
Yeah.
We can only see the possible, but the impossible is where he wants to take us. I truly believe and do miracles and do those things that we think, oh, that was just, you know, in Old or New Testament times. That's not for today.
It's such a lie. Yeah.
That's such a lie. God is still doing miracles all the time. And he wants to use us. And that's a scary thing sometimes if God's saying, hey, I've picked you to, you know, be the one, the genesis of this particular miracle. That's a scary place because you're like, well, what if I mess up? Or what if I'm not really hearing God? I don't know. You know, it's crazy the way God works.
It is. It's exciting though.
It is.
Okay, so I want to just ask you, we're almost out of time, but so you have a grown daughter, and I would love to hear your perspective, any perspective you could share for moms who are in the trenches right now.
Like you said, prayer, continuing to pray. I'm a big believer in digging deep with God to find out what is the purpose for this child, especially if this child is driving you crazy. You know, depending on the age, you give a 15-year-old who doesn't talk to you or a whatever age.
3-year-old who won't stop talking to you.
who won't stop talking to you. Yeah, just really press into God for their purpose. And don't be afraid to just ask him, say, God, what is this child on this planet to do? Because I truly believe each of us is here to change the world. We're going to change it somehow, either for better or for worse, but just keep pressing in, keep asking God. And the other thing I'd say, don't be afraid to dream big for your child. Don't be afraid if God drops that little seed of, hey, they're going to end up here. Don't be afraid to just believe for that. It doesn't mean you're going to necessarily tell everybody, but go to the Lord in prayer about that. I mean, God showed me things about our daughter before she had a record deal, before any of that, where he just dropped this little seed in my heart where I go, really, God, I'm supposed to believe for that. But now I've seen it all come to pass because I was willing, my husband and I both, to step out and go, this is crazy, but we're going to pray for this because we feel like this is where God's taking her, you know, and this is what he's doing. It's like when she, with her first big song, Free to Be Me, when she wrote that song, played it for us, she was 20. She had nothing happen. She was in college, no record deal, no Nashville, nothing. She played that song for us, and I just knew in that moment the Lord just showed me. I said, Franny, I don't know what to tell you, but that's a number one song right there. Wow. And it was several years later. That was the first number one hit by a female in 8 years on Christian radio. It was number one for 10 weeks, and it got a Grammy nomination. You're just like, but God will show us. If we ask him, he'll show us the future before it happens. But then we have to, as moms and as dads, just dig deep and believe God for that. You know, sometimes he'll show us something crazy and you're just like, okay, you know, but don't be afraid to. That can be a God dare, you know, definitely. Just being bold enough to believe for something big for someone else.
Yes.
Not always yourself.
Exactly. I think also for me, again, with my sweet daughter, she's been so refining for me. I'm starting to really go, I love you for how hard you are for me to understand. And vice versa. I'm absolute confusion.
But I think the Lord will do that with our kids. You know, we're going to, they're going to refine us probably more than anything, our kids and our husbands, you know, because you have to learn to live with people and learn that, oh, wait, it's not all about me. Dang, I thought it was.
I really prefer if it is, though, but okay. Yeah, I love it. Okay, so finally, I want to ask you, what can you not stop talking about?
Well, there is this new place in Tennessee in Franklin. It used to be a food truck called the Grilled Cheesery. They just opened a little shop here in Franklin, and we have to go. My husband and I have to go. Because you look at the pictures and you're just like,
oh no. It's just,
you can design your own grilled cheese. They have all kinds of cool ones. I mean, yeah, it probably doesn't sound that exciting to most of the world, but I like food. I'm a foodie.
Yeah.
So it sounds very exciting to me.
That's great. I hope you love it. I hope it exceeds your expectations.
Oh, I can pretty much tell by the pictures that it will.
I love it. Well, Kate, thank you so much for talking to me today. I really have loved your book, and I can't wait for my listeners to get it as well.
Thank you, Emily. It's been a pleasure.
Did you love that? Was it encouraging? I think it probably, when we think about receiving a dare from God, it can be maybe more scary than encouraging, but be encouraged that no matter what, it's going to be so good. So what will your strategy to struggle well be based on what Kate said today? I would highly recommend that you get this book. It's really well laid out. The stories are excellent. And like I said, it would be a great study to do with maybe your neighbors or some friends. Maybe you struggle well this week by just sitting with God and saying, you know what? What would you dare me to do? Be honest about the places that you have more unbelief than you have belief. He's not going to be mad at you. He's on your side. But like we talked about, Kate and I, sometimes we think the way that we can do something great for God, it ends up making us look pretty amazing. And that's not the point. So if God's asking you to do something that is not exactly your idea of a good time, but you do feel like it is the thing you're supposed to be doing, you're probably on the right track. I remember when he said, you know, this Etsy shop, that was kind of not exactly the thing I wanted you to be doing right now. I would like you to start a podcast. I told my husband, I'm like, I don't know the first thing about like all this. Years ago, this was not a thing that a lot of people had done, and I knew nothing about sound, or it just did not make sense. It did not even seem like a good idea, but I knew that it was the thing I was supposed to be doing. And so I did it, and it's been so fun and scary and hard, but largely very good. So what God dare do you want to take? What's he asking you to do? Do me a favor and share this episode with somebody who comes to mind when you listen to it. Maybe somebody who you know suffers with anxiety. Maybe someone who has abortion as part of their story. There's lots of good takeaways in this that I would love for as many people to hear as possible. And also, don't forget to join me on your favorite social media platform. Mine is Instagram. Go to Mom Struggling Well on Instagram because we have a lot of fun over there and I want to get to know you more. Let me pray for us. God, thank you that it's impossible for us to mess everything up so badly that we're beyond your forgiveness. I pray for the listener who feels like, yeah, that's all well and good, but that doesn't apply to my situation. God, would you speak to their heart in the way that only you know how and help them know that that's a bunch of baloney. Lord, I pray for secrets that people plan to take to their graves to be brought into the light. Lord, I pray for the lightness and the relief that comes from that. I want that for these people. I know you do too. So Lord, would you just please bring those things to pass? Help people to share and live in community and open up. Help them to realize, Lord, that your forgiveness is 100% all-inclusive and completely finished. Thank you, Lord, for all of that you did for us on that cross. In Jesus' name, amen.